Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Vaibhav Jain, and I'd like to start my presentation by a short video. So I will be covering the global burden of oral health disorders affecting the elderly. So I bring in the global perspective of this entire issue around access to oral health care for the elderly. So without further ado.
Other things, when we opt into every part of Medicaid that is not mandated by the federal government.
Okay, wait. If the dentures are not covered, then how do you chew?
Soup is good. These are the hard choices we have to make. Why?
So that was actually an elected official making a statement saying that soup is good. If you don't have dentures, give elderly soup. Well, that's not okay. It's about setting priorities, and that's what my presentation is really going to be about. So a little bit of a quick background. The increase in life expectancy and decreased fertility has started, a larger aging population in the in the world, and then except Africa, where we all know that HIV/AIDS is actually, killing a lot of people. But then, and the global health disease burden is actually now slowly moving towards the non-communicable diseases, or NCDs, from the communicable disease, realm. And according to the WHO, NCDs kill about 36 million people every year, and 80% of these deaths happen in low- and middle-income countries. And, the global health disorders affecting the elderly and, in general, global health disorders were very well, classified by the Murray study in 2010, where he talked about 21 different regions, stratified them in 291 causes, 28 groups and genders. So that's primarily what I'm going to be using for my research. Oral health, definitely, as we all know, is a mirror of the general, is the mirror of general health of an individual, and yet a truly underserved area of public health. Many systemic diseases, manifest first seen, they're first seen in the oral cavity, leukoplakia when you're about to get oral cancer, a lot of other things. Interestingly, in the United States alone, we have, workday loss for about 2.4 million in 1996 to about 6.8 that was recorded in 2000. So it actually does affect the workforce also. Another example, Australia, $6.7 billion was actually spent on the treatments for oral diseases in 2012 alone. And that was only second to the total expenditure of their own of the country. The first one was cardiovascular. A little bit about oral health disorders in the elderly. So again, according to the study done by Peterson, now Dr. Peterson has actually been an instrument in this entire presentation. He was the head of the oral health programs of the WHO, whom I actually worked under, and he inspired me to work in this presentation. So he did a landmark study where he, definitely discussed the elderly, and, oral health is definitely an underserved area for the elderly, globally speaking. And when I talk about the elderly in the United States, it's referred to as 65 and above. But globally, the number is around 60, so I would stick with the 60 and above age group. Increasing age and compromised immunity among the elderly is highly associated with morbidity. Again, we don't have any ways to measure, deaths or, how the oral health diseases are impacting the entire society. So I'm going to use DALYs, which is disability-adjusted life years, or which is a combination of years of life lost and days lived with disability. So moving forward, again, some compromised immunity leads to increased risk of oral diseases like diabetes, HIV, and old age, and oral health disorders affect the masticatory functions, thereby negatively affecting the nutritional status. So soup is not okay. So the key objectives of this study were definitely, first of all, to identify whether there were really any studies outside, which talked about the global burden of oral health disorders in the elderly. And then, examining the existing evidence, whether global health burden of the oral health disorders and how it affects the healthy happiness in the economy. And finally, if I can compare them with some other chronic diseases that affect the elderly and where do we really stand in that scale. So I did a quick literature review as my methods part. I can actually come back to it if you want. In the interest of time, I'm going to skip to the methods part. I did a literature review. I had an inclusion-exclusion criteria. And then I did a quick quantitative analysis. Now, for the quantitative analysis, I used the data from the Institute of Health Metrics and Evaluation, where the Murray study was actually conducted. And what I've identified from the 291 diseases, I found that four diseases were affecting oral health, were dental caries, edentulism, mouth cancer, and periodontal diseases. And I compared them with osteoarthritis, tuberculosis, anxiety disorders, pancreatic cancer, and pneumococcal pneumonia. And I'll also be comparing them with a couple of other diseases as I go forward. I'll tell you about that. Again, a little bit about the methodology, why those were selected. They were selected because, when I looked at the DALY, I combined all of these four diseases and looked at the DALYs for these two years, actually. So the study was conducted in 1990, then the data was collected in 2005, and then 2010. So it's actually a three-year study, but I will be only focusing on 1990 and 2010. Moving forward, okay, so these are some of the results in the literature review, and most of these studies that I, you know, went through said that periodontal diseases and dental caries compromise significant proportions of public health burden in the elderly. And then most dental disorders, we all know, are curable if they're diagnosed early. So we can actually save a lot of money, you know, and moving forward, we can just avoid all the money going into the treatment plan. Increasing levels of oral health problems are definitely seen in low-income countries, is what I examined. A lot of them were in Southeast Asia and Africa. You know, again, old age correlates with chronic diseases and compromised nutritional status, and therefore, you know, it becomes an issue for the socioeconomic, the socio-environment conditions. And edentulism, as I found, was the most important one of all of them. Okay, so this basically tells about the, you know, the one of the studies that I looked at, which was the Peterson study at the WHO, where they used the DMFT, which is the Decayed Missing Filled Teeth Index, and the CPI, which is Community Periodontal Index, you know, that they used to actually collect the data for, you know, all these diseases that you see over here. Moving forward. So this is what my qualitative, you know, quantitative analysis really looked like. If you see over here, oral disease, you know, were 5.3 million in 1990, and clearly they've increased to about 5.9, and these are DALIs. And, you know, again, it sort of shows you the split of dental caries, edentulism, mouth cancer, and periodontal disease, and how they're increasing. Now, do you notice that everything is increasing except edentulism? Now, that's decreasing. Most of the studies that I've actually looked through did not really, you know, make an estimate why that's happening, but I had to, you know, dig in a little bit more, and I found that it's actually due to the retentive nature of teeth that has actually increased over the years. And that's why, you know, edentulism is definitely going down. However, you know, as the baby boomers, you know, are growing older, we will definitely need people with dentures for the lower jaw, for the upper jaw, and actually both. So edentulism is a very, very prominent issue in a lot of these countries. And then I tried comparing them with the osteoarthritis, tuberculosis, anxiety disorders, pancreatic cancer, and pneumococcal pneumonia. It's well represented. First of all, let me show you it on this. So this was the graphical representation, how oral health disorders looked in the 1990s, and then how they looked in 2010. And definitely edentulism has come down, but, you know, clearly it is increasing. And this is how I compared them with the other disorders. So osteoarthritis, tuberculosis, anxiety disorders, pancreatic cancer, and pneumococcal pneumonia, these are the diseases I compared them with. Now, why I chose them is that I looked through the entire matrix of what Murray et al. Had suggested. And they had, these are the diseases which had the maximum DALIs associated with those which were 60 and above. So that's why I use this comparison. And clearly, you know, to my surprise, pancreatic cancer, pneumococcal pneumonia are actually comparable to the oral health DALIs, oral health disorder DALIs for the elderly. I did another quick comparison to look at the, you know, diseases which have the maximum DALIs in this entire, you know, network of chronic and, you know, non-communicable diseases. And ischemic heart disease, COPD, you know, ischemic stroke, no surprise there. They're definitely, you know, the game changers. But oral disease is still there. And, you know, there are some diseases like Parkinson's, glaucoma, or upper respiratory tract infection, were there. And they're actually getting a lot of attention. However, oral health isn't. So this is my way of, you know, sort of pushing that agenda forward. Finally, some of the summaries that I found, clearly, you know, in 2010, 5.9 million DALIs were only associated with oral health disorders. 64% of them were edentulism, 2.9 million, you know, DALIs alone. There was some, you know, mortality attached, and they were with only oral cancer. So I actually haven't included that in my study, which is why I've only stuck to the DALIs part of it. Moving forward, you know, the total oral health disorder disease burden is comparable to the burdens associated with others like tuberculosis and the others that I just talked about. Finally, in conclusions, you know, very few studies on global oral health burden is available in the literature. In fact, when I looked, I think I spent about 2 months, and all I could find were about 12 to 15 studies which really talked about oral health burden elderly globally. So, you know, we really need some more funding in the research aspect of that. And then, you know, oral health disease is neglected considerably, and, you know, 64% of these diseases is edentulism. And they're all curable, so we need to really talk about the cure, you know, probably prevention before we even get to the cure. some more conclusions. You know, by 2050, they say that, you know, the elderly population is going to be almost double of what they are right now. So we can't really, you know, ignore this issue. We need to, you know, go out and talk about, you know, how we need to handle it, setting our priorities, what needs to be done, clearly. And then, you know, some of the others that we talked about over here, you see that oral cancer or mouth cancer is directly related to tobacco consumption worldwide, and this is also preventable. Quick recommendations that I had for the entire, you know, research community was definitely we need more research on the global burden of oral health disorders, incorporate oral health into general health systems. So you'll see that a lot in my colleagues, you know, when they present after me. And then, you know, promoting good oral health. I remember growing up in India, you know, my grandmother did not know much about, you know, oral health and all that. And when I was in dental school back there, I really, you know, spoke to her about it. And she was fascinated by, you know, little bit of knowledge that she could get. She was sort of empowered. You know, she started to get, you know, more attentive to her oral health. She used to develop a lot of ulcers because of dentures. So she started taking care of those things. So it's actually empowering, not even really education, but that telling them, giving them the resources, talking to them. I think that's what's really necessary. You know, expanding the funding, which Dave will be able to talk to us about, how we can actually get that funding, how we can get those, you know, research out there. You know, beyond treatment-centric efforts to more holistic programs that are also emphasized on preventative and early measures. And then train, mobilize, employ dental workforces. When you all go back to your schools and your, you know, hospitals, talking to your interns, your, you know, residents, how can they, you know, better serve the older community rather than just focusing on, you know, the younger generation. And there are some limitations in the study that I can talk about. You know, obviously, in one of the Peterson questionnaires was only 39%. And then I did not consider primarily the oral health care and access to care and the workforce. So that's one of the limitations that I looked at. And these are my acknowledgements. My professor, Dr. Lone Simonson, she's actually a research professor at GW. Dr. Paul Eric Peterson, he was the chief of oral health programs at WHO, just retired. And my chair of the department, James Antelich. Thank you.